Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasra Daf Tzadi Beis. We are holding at the very beginning of Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, which is the beginning of the sixth parak of Maseches Bambasra. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Adli Linishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to talk about, is it a mekach ta'us when seeds are sold, but they can't produce a plant? You plant them in the ground, and nothing happens because they are damaged. They're not able to produce a plant. So can the mocher say, who said anything about planting? I thought you wanted to eat these seeds. These are seeds that are perfectly edible. So when do we assume that that the mocher has such a taina? And when do we assume, no, it's obvious that he meant to plant them, and therefore it is a mekach ta'us. The Gemara is going to then have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel whether the sale of a shor nagchon is a mekach ta'us. I sell you a shor, and the shor is crazy. It's goring everything in sight. So is that a mekach ta'us if it had such a history and I just never told you about that? Or can the mocher claim, what do you mean? I thought you wanted to shecht it and eat it. It won't do any harm to anybody once it's dead. I thought that was the plan. So machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly they're arguing about, and the Gemara is going to conclude that what they're likely arguing about is whether holchin b'mamon achar harov or ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. And that's why the Gemara in Amud Beis going into tomorrow's daf is going to try to bring rayas whether holchin b'mamon achar harov or not. So the first two rayas of the four that the Gemara is going to bring appear in today's daf, whether holchin b'mamon achar rov or ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the top of Tzadi Beis Amralv. Hamocher peiros lechaveru. A person sells peiros to somebody else. And these peiros are a type of min that could be used for planting, or they could be used for eating. It's beans or grain or something like that. And you never said, nobody ever said at the time of the sale, what the purpose of the purchase was. Was it for planting or was it for eating? Uzra'an velot samchu. The lokeach went, he planted them, and nothing came out. It didn't produce anything. Not because of other conditions, not because of any natural disaster or anything like that. These peiros simply were not able to be matzmiach. Va'afilu zara pishtan. Even if that min that he sold them was pishtun, where most of the time pishtun is sold for zriya, very rarely is it sold for achila or for other purposes, eino chayev b'achriyusan. The mocher is not responsible to return the money back to the lokeach, because the mocher could say, I don't know what you're talking about, I sold you something to eat, and it would have been delicious had you just eaten it. Because eino chumamanacha rov, so even if rov of the time it's meant to be planted, since there's a meal of the time that people buy these things to eat, the mocher is a valid taina that I sold this to you to eat. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lomer, zirone gino she'eno ne'achalin chayiv ba'achriyusan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if it's the type of seeds that cannot be eaten, that they're only planted and they're never eaten, so then the mocher is going to be chayiv to return him the money, because they're only meant for zriya and they were not someach. So then it's obviously a mekach tos, it's not a matter of rov. Now, from reading the Mishnah, it sounds like there's some sort of machlokas tanaim, but Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't seem to say anything that would be at all offensive to the Tanakama. Meaning the Tanakama had said that even if it's rov, that's lizria, the mocher could say la'achila. But if it's kulam lizria, if it's only something that's meant for zria, of course the Tanakama is going to agree that it's going to be a mekach ta'us. So the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to tell us, in fact, the entire Mishnah is Rav Shimon Gamliel. And it was just Mekatzer the Lashon of the Mishnah. What it should say is, Hamocher peiros lechaveru v'zaron v'lo tzamchu, afilu zera pishtan einu chayiv b'achriyusan, divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, sher Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, dafka zeron egina she'eino ne'achalin chayiv b'achriyusan, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that it's dafka zeron egina, which cannot be eaten, that you're chayiv b'achriyusan, but anything short of that, anything that is even sometimes eaten, yutaka would be chayiv b'achriyusan. So in fact, there is no machlok Tanna Kama Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, mostly because Tanna Kama is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, the Tos Yontov points out in the name of the Rif, what Lechara is an obvious point, that even if it's something that is meant entirely to be planted, and it's not meant to be eaten at all, it's only a Mekach Tos if the reason it didn't grow is because there was something faulty with the seeds themselves. If it didn't grow because of something else, there was a hailstorm or something and it destroyed the whole crop, well, that is certainly not the Mocher's problem. The Rush is quoted in the Shittim Kubetzes over here to ask the following question. Why is it that you're Chayiv Bachriusan? I mean, Chayiv Bachriusan means the Mocher owes the money back. Can't the Mocher say, okay, Mekach Tos, fine, give me back the seeds, and I'll give you back the money. Meaning, that's the way Mekach Tos normally works. You claim that something was wrong with it, fine, return it, and as soon as you return it, I'll give you back the money. So why over here can't the Mocher make the same taina? Obviously, the Lokeach won't be able to return it, because he already planted it, and it's in the ground, so can't the Mocher have such a taina? So the Rush says that since it was purchased for the sake of Zriya, the Mocher was hifsid liatzmo. He should have realized that, and he knew that it was going to be Nizra. He knew that it wasn't going to be available later, because he knew what this Lokeach was buying it for. And therefore, the Mocher, in this case of Mekach Tos, the Mocher cannot ask for it back. The Beis Yosef writes that that is in fact how the Ran understands as well, and he says, and with that, you can answer another kasha. Because L'chora, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is telling us something that is not a chiddush at all. Because obviously, if it's something that could only be used for Zriya, and it's not ro'oi for Zriya, ain mekach tos gadol mizeh. Of course that's a mekach tos. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah? So it must be, says the Ran, that there's makom to think that the Mocher can say, yes, it's a mekach tos, but give me back the Zrayim, and then I'll give you back the Kesef. And since you're unable to give me back the Zrayim, I don't have to give you back the Kesef. And that's what the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is coming to tell me, that the Mocher is Chayiv, because since it's only meant for Zriya, I can't ask you for the Zrayim back, because it's as if I sold it to you beferish to go and plant in your karka. It's as if I told you to go and plant it in your karka. So once I told you to do that, obviously I can't go and ask for the money back. Okay, so now the Gemara says, let's introduce a slightly different case. Not a case where I sold you something that might be planted or might be eaten, but rather, itmar, hamocher shor l'chavero. Person sells an ox to his friend, v'nimtza nagchan. And it turns out that that ox has a history, a violent history. It's always known to have been a nagchan, and I didn't, that was not in the Carfax report. I did not share that with you at the time that I sold you the ox. So Rav amar, reza mekach tos. Rav says, oy vey, terrible, that is a mekach tos. The mocher has to give back the money for the ox, because most oxen are purchased to keep around so that you can use them for plowing. This ox cannot be used for plowing. Memela, the mekach, is batel. The Rush quotes, Rabbeinu Meir asks on Rav, that I think Rabbeinu Meir is Maram Rutenberg, that why doesn't it say, smoch miyuta, that are kona l'shchita, to the chazaka of the money that's biyad a mocher, and then you don't follow the rov. It would be like a safek hashakol and a motzi mechavero alav haraya. Meaning, what's the reason that Rav is saying it's a mekach tos? Because ruban lecharisha, it's rov lecharisha, and we follow that rov. We only follow the rov if that's the only thing on that side of the scale. A rov and a miyut, so we'll follow the rov. But if there's a chazaka supporting the miyut, so then we don't follow rov. Then we view it like a 50-50. So says the Rush, the name Ram Rutenberg, l'chora, you have something supporting the miyut over here. And that is the cheskas mamon, because right now the mocher has the mamon. So why don't we say smoch miyuto the chazaka? So the Rush quotes, the Rush answers that Rav holds that any chazaka that changes, that sometimes the lokeach is muchzak in the money, meaning before he's paid for it, the lokeach is muchzak in the money. Sometimes the mocher is muchzak in the money after it's been paid for. That's not considered a real chazaka. So chazaka is like a Ruba de la Sakaman kind of chazaka, a way things are in life kind of chazaka, but a chazaka where we know that there was a transaction that went on between two parties, and it could be that you catch it before the money was paid, or it could be you catch it after the money was paid. That does not qualify as a chazaka that's going to have any impact on the rov. So anyway, so Rav Shita is, it's a mekach ta'us, that since rov of the time, when people buy an ox, they want to use it to work in the field, field, and this ox cannot work in the field because it's dangerous. You cannot keep it around. So that is a mekach taus. Ushmuel amar, and Shmuel says, no, not a mekach taus. Yachol amar lo, the mocher could say to the lokeach, l'shchita mechar tevlach. I was selling you a delicious dinner for tomorrow night. You were supposed to shecht it, and you were supposed to eat it. Who said anything about using it for plowing? So even though most people, when they buy oxen, are buying oxen to plow, we ain't holchin mamenach harov. I know that the rov is that people buy for plowing, but we don't follow rov. So therefore, we view it as a safek ashakul, and therefore, when it's a safek ashakul, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. We go back to hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. The Rashbam writes that even according to Sumchus, who does not normally hold on a safek mamon, that hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, Sumchus holds mamon amuta b'safek is cholkim, right? So Rashbam writes, that's only if we're mesupak what exactly happened over here. But over here, we know what happened. We know that there was a sale, and we know that it was never explicitly stated whether this was going to be used for Harisha, whether it was going to be used for Achila. So then even Sumchus is going to agree that we're not going to say Mamun Mutl B'Safek Cholkin. And since Ein Olchun Mamun Acharov, the Mocher does not have to say. It's not the Mocher's responsibility to clarify that I'm selling this to you to eat. It's the Lokeach that has to say that he wanted for Harisha. And since the Lokeach never said that he wanted it for Harisha, the Lokeach is the one that loses out. So again, Rav says it's a Mekach Ta'us because we follow the Rov, and Shmuel says, no, the Mocher could say L'shchita Mechar Tevlach because it's a reasonable possibility that it's L'shchita Mechar Tevlach, and the Lokeach should have clarified otherwise. So ask the Gemara, why is there any room for Machlokas? Isn't there an easy way to be able to tell what the purpose was in the lokeach buying this shor? We're talking about whether you follow the rove people buy the ox for plowing, and rove people don't buy it for eating. We have to look at rove. Talk to the guy. See what this guy does. Meaning, rov is when you're looking at the whole world because I know nothing about this person. Velechsi, why don't we just look at the person, the actual buyer? Igavra dezavin l'nichsita. If we know that this the mocher knew, and you have to assume that it's the mocher. You don't have to, but the Rashbam writes that the case is that the mocher knew that this buyer is a shochet, and whenever he buys animals, he's buying animals to shech the animal. So l'nichsita, then you could assume that it was purchased l'shchita, and the mocher is in the right that I sold you an animal that's perfectly good for shchita. And ila radya, and if this buyer has a habit that he typically, when he buys oxen, he's typically buying the oxen to use to work the field and not to shecht, so then the radya, then the lokeach is in the right. So why are we even looking at the rov? Look at this guy. You don't need to look at rov ha'olam. The shaila is not about rov ha'olam. It's about this one fellow. So I mentioned that the Rashbam writes that gavra d'zav l'nachsta means that the mocher knew that he's a gavra d'zav l'nachsta, and that's what the Rosh writes explicitly. V'hikiro hamocher. However, the Rosh in Maseches Bava Kama writes that if the lokeach is darko tamid, that his derech is always that he only buys this type of animal or that type of animal, we follow the umdana. So the pilpula charifta on the Rosh in Maseches Bava Kama and Os Beis says it sounds from the Rosh over there that even if the mocher doesn't know what the habits of the lokeach are, meaning with the Gemara's whole question over here is what are the habits of the lokeach, not what did the mocher know about the habits of the lokeach. So still, even if the mocher knew nothing, but the habits of the lokeach are one way or the other, so it's as if anan sahadi that he bought for whatever he normally buys for, and that would be enough to make it a mekach ta'us. So he says that's against the Rosh in our sugya. So it's a stira in the Rosh. So the Torah writes that, and also the Torah also, because the Torah also writes that a mocher makiro, and Beis Yosef makes the same diuk, that it sounds from the Rosh and the Torah in our sugya, that if the mocher is unaware of the habits of the lokeach, then it's not going to be considered a mekach ta'us. It's not the mocher's fault. It's not his responsibility to be fully aware of all the habits of the lokeach. But the Beis Yosef just doesn't explain why the Rosh would say that we don't follow the habits of the Lokech just because the Mocher doesn't know. So the Pilpul Charifta explains that since the Mocher doesn't know anything about the Lokech, so it's the Lokech's responsibility to let him know what his intentions are. And since the Lokech went and he bought it Stam, so we assume that he's not following whatever his normal habits are, and that he's like a regular guy who's just buying an animal at this time. So again, the Gemara's kasha is, I don't understand how we can even have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Just look at the lokeach and see what his normal habits are, and that will determine whether he bought this animal l'shchita, in which case it's not a mekachtos, or whether he bought it l'charisha, in which case it's yes a mekachtos. So the answer is the Gemara, we're talking about a specific case where begavr d'zav l'achi l'ach. This lokeach has a history of buying some animals l'charisha, some animals l'shchita, so there's no way of knowing by looking at his history. The best bet, the best way to be able to gauge is by looking at Rov Ha'olam. So that's the question. Is Rov Ha'olam a determinant? Is that, do we follow the, are we holchen b'mamon achar Rov? So ask the Gemara, okay, fine. This guy sometimes buys l'charisha, sometimes buys l'shchita, but there's still another way to tell what his intention was with this purchase. Look at the price, and that should tell you what the intention was, because a shor that's going to be used for charisha costs a lot more than a shor that's going to be used for shechita. You're going to have it around for a lot longer, and therefore typically the price is a lot more. A good working ox is apparently harder to find than an ox that you can shecht and enjoy its meat. So says Malotzricha Dayakar Bisra Vekamb Demei Radia. Now the case must be that there's no price differential, that the market conditions are such that meat's really, really expensive. It's right before Yantif or something. So meat's really, really expensive. So meat is buying an animal for meat is just as expensive as buying an animal for the sake of charisha. So that is, that's why you can't just look at the purchase price. So it says, well, really? Ihachi the main afkamina. If the price is going to be the same, then what difference does it make? What loss would there be to the lokeach? Meaning, what's going to happen? The lokeach's going to say, Mekachtos, this animal is no good for charisha. So the mocher should say to the lokeach, okay, great. So you have an animal that you can sell and get all your money back. I mean, you could sell it for shechita. You'll tell the lokeach it's for shechita. Meat is very expensive. You'll get all your money back. So you can claim mekachtos about that. So it says, nafkamina, letircha. Yeah, the nafkamina is going to be, is that the lokeach's responsibility to turn around and sell it? Or to shecht it and then sell the meat? Or can he say, I don't want to deal with that. I'm not a shochet. It's not what I do. I'm a farmer. So I'd rather give you this animal back and get my money back. And that's the whole sichsuch. Now, the Gemara's assumption over here is that when the market conditions are such where a shor l'charisha is different than a shor l'shchita, where people would pay a lot more for a shor l'charisha than they would for a shor l'shchita, then hadamim odim, then we absolutely would follow the price. The price would tell us everything we need to know. So all of the Rishonim are bothered by Akasha. That we had a Gemara not that long ago on Daf Ayin Zayin and Beis, where the Mishnah had said that if you sell a tzemed, the bakar is not included in the tzemed, right? I sell the yoke, so a yoke is the actual kli that's on top of the two animals that holds them together and keeps them in line. So it's when I buy a yoke, am I also buying the two oxen that normally are attached to the yoke? So the Mishnah had said, macharas tzemed, lo macharas bakar. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Hadamim odim. Go look at the price. If the price reflects that it's not just the kli on top, but it's the actual animals, then it's the actual animals. So sometimes the bakar is included. Ketzad, if lokeach says to the baal bakar, sell me your tzemed for 200 zuz, and everyone knows that a tzemed itself is not worth anywhere near 200 zuz, obviously he meant for the bakar. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, and the chachamim say, Eina damim raya. Money doesn't tell you, price doesn't tell you anything. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara explained, the machlokas was in a place where some people call a tzemed, and a bakar a bakar, and there's also a bakar, sometimes tzemed is a reference to with the bakar as well. So in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda holds, so look at the price, meaning since the word tzemed could mean just tzemed, or it could mean tzemed with the bakar, so look at the price, and that will tell you. And the Rabbanan say, no, the price doesn't tell you, because we have to assume that if it costs way more than a tzemed would normally cost, he's just trying to give him extra money as a matana, or maybe Itaka is a mekach talus, and let him return the money and let him get his tzemed back. But it's not an indication that that was the das, that that was meant to be included. So the Rishonim all write that even the Rabbanan hold that Eina Damim Raya, but if it's Nimtza Nagchan, their moda that the Damim is then is then a Raya. And so the question then becomes that how do we reconcile the two sugyas? So the Rashbam writes that Dafka by a Tzemen and Bakar, that not everyone calls a Bakar a Tzemen, and it could be that the Lokeach is among those people who does not call a Bakar a Tzemen, so we have no Raya except for from the price of the item. So that's where the Chacham hold that the Damim themselves are not a Raya, as opposed to in our sugya, where we have something else that's an indicator. This Lokeach typically buys for Harisha as well, and the Damim shows us that that's what he was purchasing it for, so therefore the Damim will be a Raya. Meaning you have another, meaning it's not only the Damim that we're looking at, it's also the fact that this Lokeach buys for Harisha. Tosos has a little different. Tosos says that Dafka by Tzemen and Bakar, since Rove people call a Tzemen and a Bakar, so both the Rove and the Chazaka of the money is on the Mocher side of things. And therefore, the Damim is not going to be a Raya. As opposed to in our case, where the Rove is purchased for Harisha, the Rove is on the Lokeach side of the scale. And the Mocher has a Cheskas HaDamim on his side of the scale, because he's the one with the money, so even the Rabbanan or Moda, the purchase price could be a Raya to the Rove or to the Chazaka, could tip the scale in one direction or the other. The Rush writes that over here the Rabbanan's Moda are Moda because the Damim are not Machish the Iker Halashon that the person used over here, whereas over there the Lashon was Tzemed. So to say that includes Bakar, that's against the Lashon that the guy actually used. And there are other approaches in Rishonim as well. But the point is that this sugya has to be reconciled with that sugya in terms of whether we should look at the Damim. Because over here, the Gemara seems to be assuming, without a doubt, you're going to look at the Damim. And over there, we had a whole machlokas about whether we look at the Damim or not. So again, we had this machlokas. You buy an ox. The ox turns out to be no good for Harisha. It's only good for Shechita. So Rav says, Mekach Tos. Shmuel says, no, the Gemocher could say, I sold it to you for Shechita, and because I don't care that most people buy oxen for Harisha, we don't follow Rove. So the Gemara, two challenges. Why can't we tell without even looking at the Rove? Challenge number one is, see what this person's purchasing habits are, and we said, okay, we're talking about a case where you can't tell. He buys for both things. Challenge number two is, look at the purchase price. And the answer is, you can't tell. The purchase price would have been the same for both things. So now the Gemara challenges even further. Say, hey, Chidami, what exactly is the case where Rav says that it's a mekach ta'us and the mocher has to give back the money? If the mocher doesn't have any money to give back so that the lokeach could collect from for the mekach, so why would Rav say it's a mekach tos and the lokeach has to give back the shor? Well, the lokeach should not give back the shor if the mocher has no money. Lakiv tur bezuzay, keep the shor as the payment for the mekach tos. Because after all, damri inchi, you know what people say, min mari rashvasech pari efra, from your balchov that owes you some money, even if he gives you subin, even if he gives you the lowest quality stuff, just take it, because you're not going to get paid. I mean, if you can get paid in anything, just get paid. So here you have this animal that's worth what he sold it to you for, so you want to claim mekach tos because you were planning on using it for harisha, and now it can only be used for shechita. If he's got no money, this is your best bet. Just keep the animal. Don't go claiming mekach tos. So says Merlot Tzrich, obviously the case must be that the guy does have money to pay. The mocher does have money to pay. Now the Rishonim, the Rashbam, the Ritva, the Rashba, quote Rabbeinu Chananel, that from the Lashon of the Gemara, that they say that if you can't collect money from the mocher, so we see that if the Lova has money, he cannot push off the malva and pay him with other nechassim that will require some assessment. He has to actually pay him with money. And he says that the makar of that din, that if the lova has money, that he must pay with cash, is from Rav Huna in Baba Kama Daf Tes, where it says when it comes to paying for nizikin, o kesef yishalem hamazik, o metav sadeu. So Rav Nachman asks, we dash from the pasuk kesef yashav lebailov, that yashav lerabel shava kesef. So what do you mean? That you got to pay him money. It's the rabbi shava kesef. So Rav Huna says the din of shava kesef is only if you don't have money. So Gemara says, well, if you don't have money, then obviously you can give him shava kesef. What else are you supposed to give him? So the Gemara answers, no, I might have thought that if the guy that owes you money, the guy that's mazik you, has shava kesef, then it's his responsibility to sell that shava kesef, get cash, and pay you in cash. So kamash malan, then no, if he has cash on hand, he pays you in cash, and if he doesn't have cash on hand, he can pay you in shava kesef. But you see that it's dafka when he doesn't have money that he can pay with shava kesef. But if he does have money, he's got to pay with actual cash. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, yeah, you see the same thing over here. That e deleko lishtalu meminei. It's only if he doesn't have money Lokeach keeps the animal in lieu of money. So the Rishonim, however, quoted another girsa, that there's a girsa over here, idalesnuhu lahanhu zuze. Not if he doesn't have any money, but if he doesn't have this money, meaning the very money that you paid to buy the ox. So if he doesn't have that money, then you might as well keep the cow, because and therefore it's a raya against Rabbeinu Chananel. Apparently, even if he has other money, he doesn't have to use that money to pay you back. But the Rashbam writes that that lashon is obviously incorrect, because who cares if he has that money or different money? If he has the $100 bill that you gave him, or he has a different $100 bill, money is fungible. It's interchangeable. It's not something that you'd say this money or that money. It doesn't work like that. Tosos also quotes that Rabbeinu Tam used to say that there are three types of piraon, three levels of chiyuv of piraon when it comes to what you have to pay back. When it comes to a halva'a, to a loan, if the lova has money, he's got to pay money. And when he doesn't have money, he doesn't have to be tareach, and he can give subin. He can give whatever he's got to pay back a loan. When it comes to nezikin, so you can pay shava kesef, even if he does have money. That's Rav Papa and Rav Huna bring Rav Yeshua and Baba Kama Dav Zayin. You could pay Shava Kesef for damages. When it comes to a Poel, even if he doesn't have money, the Balabayas' job is to pay a Poel in cash. And therefore the Balabayas is going to have to go and sell whatever he's got in order to pay the Poel. So again, the Gemara had just asked, what exactly is the case? If the guy doesn't have any money to pay you, just keep the ox and be happy about it, because at least you're getting paid. So he said, no, the case of Rav is, where Rav is saying that it's a mekach tos, is he does have money to pay you. So Rav Amar Hareza mekach tos. Rav says that it's a mekach tos because basa ruba azlinan, we follow the rov, viruba lerad yazavni, and most people buy oxen for the sake of plowing. So minastam, this lokeach also bought the ox for the sake of plowing, and since it turned out to be useless as a plowing ox, it's a mekach tos, and he can demand his money back. Ushmol Amar Lecha, and Shmuel would say, no, ki azlinan basaruba. When do we say that we follow the rove? That's only bi'isura. That's only in dinim of iser v'heter. But b'mamon lo. But by mamon, we don't follow the rove. We're not machriya based on the rove. Rather, we follow hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. What do we mean that we follow a rove bi'isura? So the Rashbam says, we know what that means. Teisha chanuyos basar mochros basar shchuta va'achas mocheres basar nevela. You walk down Central Avenue, and 9 out of 10 stores sell kosher meat. Now it's probably 10 out of 10, but 9 out of 10 stores sell kosher meat, and you find the chatichas basar on the street. So you follow the rove. You assume that chatichas basar is going to be kosher. Tosus Rid said that no. What he means is that we follow rove biyisura is not a reference to holchin b'mam to azlinon basaruba. It's a reference to bittel barov, another halacha relating to rove. And that is that if you have 3 chatichos, and you know that 2 of them are kosher, and 1 of them is not kosher, and they all get mixed together, now they're all kosher. And you can eat all 3 of them. That they're all considered to be kosher. That's the concept of bittul berov. So okay, but in some way, in Isser Vaheter, we follow Rov. Both of those things happen to be true, that we follow Rov in both of those cases. Just a question which one the Gemara is referring to over here. So that's the machlokas. The Rav says it's a mekach talos, because we do follow Rov by when it comes to Dina Mamanus, and Shmuel says we're not going to follow Rov when it comes to Dina Mamanus. The Rashba here quotes that the Ravid has two kashas on the Shita of Rav. Number one, at the beginning of the sugya, the Gemara asks, why don't we just see what the habits of this lokeach are? Whether he's a farmer who buys animals for charisha, or he's a butcher, he's a shochet, and he buys animals l'shchita. And it seems that the Gemara holds that ein holchan achar rov ha'olam, we follow the minhag of this lokeach. So what changed right now where we're willing to say, let's look at minhag ha'olam, and we don't care about the minhag of this lokeach? Meaning, Rav says, "Basar ruba azlinan." You look at Rov ha'olam and ruba l'rad yizavni. How come that changed from the beginning of the Gemara, where we said you don't look at Rov ha'olam? And second question, he says, once the Gemara said that the machlokas is about a lokeach that buys both for charisha and for shchita, who cares what Rov ha'olam is? Meaning that Rov doesn't apply to this guy. Meaning, yeah, Rov ha'olam buys for charisha. This guy, 50% of the time, buys for shechita. So why would I care about Rov Olam when this guy, we know his habits, and he buys for both? So the Ravid writes that the two kashas are all answered with one yisod. That since the derech of the lokeach is to buy also for both purposes, for both charisha and for shechita, and we don't know what the nature of this mekach is, that's when we resort to Rov Ha'olam. Because minastam, if you don't say what it's for, you're saying, I'm doing a classic mekach. I'm doing a mekach that anybody else would do. Meaning, if this lokeach has a particular habit, so then minastam, we assume he's following his habit. But if he doesn't have a particular habit, he should have said what it's for. And if he doesn't say what it's for, we assume he's going with the world's habits. He's going with whatever most people would do. And that's why Rav is going to say that we takafa follow the Rov. So here we have Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Do we follow Rov when it comes to Dine Mamanus? Simin Isha Ve'eved Shor Shvarin Upeiro. So now we're going to have several rayas, whether in fact Holchin B'mamon Achar HaRov. So raya number one, Meisvei, challenge to Rav. We have a Mishnah Maseches Ksubas and Daf Tezvav Ambeis. Ha'isha Shenis Almana Onis Garsha. A woman becomes an Almana, or she gets divorced, and therefore she's owed a Ksuba. So she comes to Beis Din to collect her Ksuba. V'hi Omeris Pesul. And she says, my ksuba, we don't have the document anymore. Either it was a makom that the minig was that they didn't actually write a ksuba, they just assumed the ksuba, or the ksuba was lost, whatever it is. But she comes and she says, I was a psul at the time we got married, and therefore my ksuba is supposed to have said, Masayim Zuz. V'hu Omer, and the husband says, Loki, el almana nesasicha. What do you mean? I wasn't your first husband. You were married previously. Our ksuba only said meyazuz. So im yesh edim shiyatsa bihinuma, if there are edim that she left her father's house bihinuma, with a hinuma on her head, or verosha perua, or she left with her hair uncovered, and her hair was rolling down her shoulders, which is the way besulos would go out to their wedding. So then ksuba. Hinuma means like a chuppah of some sort, or a canopy that they would parade a basula through the streets on the way to her wedding. So if there are different sheets in Rishonim exactly what it means, but if she had a basula type of wedding, or we know that her hair was uncovered, then her ksuba is going to be Messiah, and then she's going to be entitled to 200 zuz. So it says more, ooh, taima dike edim. If there are witnesses that that's how she came out, haleka edim lo, but if there are no witnesses about the wedding, then she's only going to be entitled to meyazuz, like a woman who was an almana. So ask the Gemara, according to Rav, that we follow Rov, v'amai, why is the failure, the lack of edim, going to indicate that she only gets the lesser amount of money? Why don't we just like, look at what Rov is? Lema halacha harov hanashim, v'rov nashim besulos nisaos. Why don't we follow Rov nashim, and Rov nashim are besulos nisaos? Rov nashim get married when they're besula. Most of the weddings that you go to our first marriages. So yeah, if I went to 20 weddings this year, and 18 or 19 of them were first marriages. One or two where a couple got married and they got quickly divorced, and then the girl got married a couple of years ago and later. But that doesn't happen all that often. So why don't we follow the Rav? So the pashtus is that this is a kashan Rav, because Rav is the one that said that we're holchin mamanacha Rav, and that's how Rav Rishonim understand over here. Tosas Rid, however, says kashas even on Shmuel, because when there's a cheskas haguf of the woman that she was a basula that supports the Rav, even Shmuel would agree that you're a holachacha Rav. Shmuel only says in olchin mamanacha Rav when that's all you got. But if there's a chazaka that's misayeh the Rav, then even Shmuel would say that you're holchin mamanacha Rav. So maybe it's even a kasha on Shmuel. So it says, why are we not following the Rav over here? Amar Avina, Mishum Di'ikal Meimar, because one can say that Rav Nashim Besulos Nisos. Yes, most women, when they get married as Besulos. Umiyut almanos, but there's still a miyut that get married as almanos. V'kala nisis besula yesh l'kal, but there's another factor. When there's a wedding of a besula, everyone knows about it. It's something that when she's yotze bihinuma, it's a whole public spectacle. Everyone is aware of that call. The Rashbam doesn't say explicitly over here what that call is. They know about what. But in Dibra Maskel Yesh, later on, he says that there's a call that mitoch sheyesh simcha b'nisuyi besula niskarim b'bnei adam. So it sounds like the call is that she got married as a besula. Rashi in Maseches Ksubos writes that a lot of people know that she was yotze bihinuma, that the call is not that she was a besula, the call was that she was yotze bihinuma. But bottom line is there's a call that would have indicated what she was at the time that she got married. Vizo, holve in the call, this woman happened, there was no call about her. So itra laruba, that's an indicator that there was something wrong with the Rav, that even the Rav Nashim get married as besulos, but there's a counter indicator, there's no call that's telling us that she was a besula. So says Gemara, e kol hanisos besulos yesh lan kol. If every woman who gets married as a besula has a kol, then ki ike eidim mayhavi. Then even if there are eidim that testify that she was a besula, but there was no kol, we shouldn't listen to those eidim. Less a kol sadi shakri ninu. The fact that there was no kol should tell you that these eidim are a bunch of liars. According to the Rashbam, the kol again was the fact that she was a besula. So the kasha of the Gemara is if there was no kol that she was a besula, so you know that. What these people are being made that she was yotze b'inuma to show that she was a besula is sheker. She was obviously not yotze b'inuma if there was no kol. The kol is 100%. So it says no. The kol is not 100%. Ella rov hanisos besula siyesh len kol vizo hol ve'in la kol itra la ruba. Most of the time that besulas get married, there's a kol. This one didn't have a kol, and that's what's damaging to the rov. But it's not that it's kol that it's all besula. Sulos have a call. Now, this idea that we had said that what's going to be an indicator that she was a basula if she was yatsubi numa virosha perua and her rosh was perua. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Simenayin Hei, Shulchan Aruch paskins that the hair of a woman that's normally covered, it's also likros kriya shma kenegda. Right? The fact that people are making about this is because the Aruch HaShulchan had this unbelievable kula that it doesn't have a din of erva legabe saying dvarm shabakdusha, even though it has a din of erva legabe other things. But pasha reading of Shulchan Aruch is that hair is erva, and you're not allowed to say kriya shma kenegda uncovered hair of a woman. But besulos, where they go perue rosh, that you're allowed to say a brach in front of a single girl's uncovered hair. So Magen Avraham asks that, the Shulchan Aruch Neven Ezer seems to say otherwise. Because the Shulchan Aruch Neven Ezer, Simon Chav Aleph, says that Benos Yisrael are not supposed to go peruos rosh b'shuk, echad penuya ve'echad esh esish. Whoa. Shulchan Aruch says even a single girl doesn't go perua rosh in the shuk. The Magen Avraham asks Viter that the Mishnah that we just quoted says if they're raiding that she was Yotzis Binuma Virosha Perua, then you know it's Ksubasa Messiah, she was a basula. Sounds like a simon for a basula is that she went without a covering on her hair. So that's a kasha of the Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezra. Why does Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezra assume that a Pnuya has covered hair? So the Magen Avraham is Miyashev that there's two types of Pura Rosh. Pru Rosh could mean uncovered hair, or it could mean wild hair, that the hair is not bound together, it's not tied together in a ponytail or a braid or something like that. And he's therefore mechadesh that while it's true that a pnuya does not have to cover her hair, but she's not allowed to have her hair hanging loose. That's the Magen Avraham Shita. So the Beis Shmuel writes, no, when the Shulchan Aruch Neben Ezra said a pnuya has to cover her hair, it meant a girl who's currently single. She's a grusha, she's an almana, she has to cover her hair. A girl who's never married doesn't have to cover her hair at all. Chalkas Mechokek means that it's talking about a bu'ula, but a basula is a pnuya that has to cover her hair, so I'm at a bu'ula. But a pnuya who's still a basula does not have to cover her hair. So Machsa Shekel asks on the Magen Avraham that our sugya is a raya against the Magen Avraham, because it says that if we have Edim that she was Rosh HaPerua, she was Yosbin Yuma Rosh HaPerua, and what does Rashi say? What does Rosh HaPerua mean? That her hair is hanging down her shoulders. Well, if even a pnuya is not allowed to have her hair hanging down her shoulders, then how come that was a simon of her getting married as a basula? So don't you see, it's a raya against the Magen Avraham. It seems like a very strong kasha on the Magen Avraham. So there are a number of achronim that try to defend the Magen Avraham. So that's why you'll see in certain communities where the single girls are always walking around with their hair tightly in a bun or a braid or a ponytail or something like that to make sure it's all held together. That's like the shita of the Magen Avraham. And in those communities where we don't do that, that's because we follow the shitas of the other poskim that's based on this Mishnah. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the second raya, whether Holchin Mamon Achar Rov or Ein Holchin B'mamon. Achar Harov.